Okay, Daf Yud Ches. We're going to start from the Perek Yud Zayin and the Beis and the Perek Misha Mesoy Mutol Lufanav. A person, Rachman Litzlan, has a mace in front of him, and we will see according to the Gemara's Maskana, this means he is responsible. We'll see from the Gemara's Maskana that this means that he is responsible. Better, louder, better.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see from the Gemara that this means that he is responsible. He has the responsibility to bury this person. Does not necessarily mean that he literally has in front of him a body, but the responsibility to bury this body falls upon this individual, even if that body is the other end of the world. He has a bit of an onain, and he memela potter mi kriyashma. He is exempt. So the Gemara is going to explain exactly. I'm telling you, the Gemara is maskan. The Gemara clearly explained that what it means lefanav, according to one opinion, means responsibility, and that's how it's understood today. Halacha lemaisa bein lekul lechumer. The Rav Moshe has a lot of tshuvas on this. That bezman is in America, there is much less of a degree in America of mutal lefanav, because there are funeral homes. And there's a whole system in place.
Chevra
Kadisha, right? There's a whole system in place, bizman hazeh. So the degree of being mutal alufanov is not as strong today as it was years ago. Not everyone agrees. It's a very big chaluke hadeis, immersion, different post of how far it goes bizman hazeh, like especially when it comes to Yom Tov. Chassidim they bury on Yom Tov, second day Yom Tov. There are a lot of nafkaminas. And it all really hits the core of how far you translate these words in the Mishnah, mutal lefanav, how far it goes.
Because it's a meis mitzvah?
No, not necessarily a meis mitzvah. It's his responsibility. If he won't do it, so I wouldn't say it's a meis mitzvah. It's his responsibility. We'll see. Let's see the Gemara. Let's go quick. So part of this person is part of mikriyashma. So a person is responsible to do a mitzvah. So basically, oisek b'mitzvah, part of mina mitzvah. But it's more in this case. Not oisek mitzvah. This place he's torud. Rashi says lefishu torud b'machsheves kivurasa. So he's part of mikriyashma from kriyashma, which din de'araiso minatfilo tilo. According to the Gemara, is the only midrabanan or minatfilin or mikol mitzvah samuros b'tora. Period. Next, no semi those that have carried the mita after the spadim or the delivered, now they're carrying the mita to the cemetery. V'chilu fehen, those that are going to exchange, those going to the back of people. After one group of people, they do their job, they carry the mace, then they give it over to another group which takes over, called the chilu fehen, the exchange. V'chilu fehen, chilu fehen, and the third group. Eshalifne, now the Rash is very interesting. Rash says, why do you have to have so many different groups relieving one another? So the answer is because everyone wants to be zoiche in the mitzvah. It's not because one group gets tired. Everyone is very willing to take carry the mace all the way until the Beis HaKvaras. It's because many people want the zuchus of doing the mace. Lahavdil elif alfei havdalos. I once saw many years ago one of the presidents of the United States. I saw a different clip of his funeral, and they had groups of people, mamash, taking over. So I asked someone, why are they taking over? So I said, one of the commentators said that the coffin weighs a few thousand pounds. A few thousand pounds, made some type of, and they literally cannot carry the coffin, even the strongest people, more than 5 minutes, more than even less. So they relieve each other. But Rashi here says, don't chas v'shalom think that's the case here. By Yisrael, there's no such thing. But here, Rashi, very see this Rashi. I appreciate this Rashi so much more when I saw this Rashi. Why does he chiluf? Look at the Rashi. The chilufim shekein derech shemischalfim loseis lefi. Not because in ancient times they would bury a person in a coffin that weighed 1,000 pounds, and you needed a group of people to relieve each other. Shakoil chafetzin lizkoisvoy. Beautiful Rashi. Every person wants the zuchus of doing the mitzvah of halav asaneis, and the mela. That's why we have different groups, people, two groups, three groups of people. Let's go further. And shalif amita v'yashlacha. There are groups that are in front who have not yet had an opportunity, and there are groups v'yashla achar hamita who have already had the opportunity. So the Mishnah says eshalif amita, those that are before the meeting, which means that they did not yet get their turn. So tsoirech bohem, if this group will be needed, they will get their chance. In other words, their turn will come. They are are patumin, they are exempt from Shema, and they are exempt from Kriya Shema. But v'shalachar hamita, but those that are behind the mita, meaning they already have got their term, they already did it, the only ones that are exempt, soirech bohem chayav, if they're going to be needed again, if they will be needed, then they're going to be, then v'shalachar hamita, v'shalachar hamita, Tzorech bohem chayavin. Even if they will be needed, it doesn't matter because they already did their turn. That's what Rashi says. The Rebbe Chiddush. V'shalachar hamita. Look at the Rashi. Dibur Maskel v'shalachar hamita. Af im tzorech bohem. Even if they will be needed, chayavin hoyel shekvar yatsu yidei chayvasan min hamet. The Rebbe Chiddush. What Rashi means. We'll leave it with that. The different gersoits, different lot of Torah. But Rashi says, since the people that have, they have already done their share, even though they will be needed again to participate, they are exempt because they already have fulfilled their obligation.
They're not exempt.
Right? They must recite Kriya Shema. Right? They must, since they have already fulfilled their obligation to carry the mace, even though they're needed. So you'll ask me if they need it, so then their obligation is not yet over. So I don't know the answer. You have to find a delicate balance. But let's right now leave with this because we're running out of time. But basically, since they've already done their share, even though they will be needed again, that's no, they are no longer exempt from Kriya Shema. They're chayiv in Kriya Shema and chayiv in Tefillah. Now the Eilu, Ptum, and Atzilu, both, whether they have done their job, whether they have not participated, they are exempt from Tefillah, because Tefillah, according to Rashi, is only midrabanan. So the only time over here we have an issue, are they chayiv in Kriya Shema? Are they not chayiv? Some are, some are not. If they have already done their obligation, they're chayiv in Kriya Shema. That's because Kriya Shema is a higher standard. It's a chiyuv min haTorah. But Tefillah is only a chiyuv midrabanan. So when it comes to a din derabanan, they are exempt. We're much more lenient since they are to some degree participating in this mitzvah. They are exempt from all dinim derabanan. Let's go further. Kavra Sameis. Now they finished. They already buried the dead, and now they're waiting for the mamodos. They're waiting for the mace to come back, and then they're going to give nechama. They're going to stand in a shura and say hamokom yinachem to the avelim. So are they? And the zman of Kriya Shema is quickly coming to an end, and they have not yet said Kriya Shema. Kavru es hameitz v'chazru, and they're on their way back, and they're waiting. Im yochaylum lahaschav v'ligmor ad shel yagil l'shura. If they're able to recite Kriya Shema before the avelim arrive, then yaschilu, they should start the imlav. If they know that they're not going to be able to finish Kriya Shema by the time the avelim arrive, lo yaschilu. Now even when they're waiting yet to do the shura, sometimes there's so many people. There are people that are going to come face to face, and there are people that are not going to come face to face with the avelim. So if you do shura pnimis, peturim. But the hachitzoinim, the ones that are further away, anyway, they're not going to come face to face with the avelim. So it's not necessary for them to wait. They are chayiv in kriyashma. And then in parentheses it says noshim avodim ugetanim turim mikriyashma minat tefillin. They're exempt from kriyashma and from tefillin. And this is sugi to itself, which will leave for later. This is really a mission later on. So leads later on. They're exempt from kriyashma uminat tefillin vechayavin betfila. They're chayiv in tefila v'mezuzah v'bruchas hamoz. And this will leave for later on. The Gemara discusses their obligation at a later point in time. Now let's go right into the what? If they have not arrived, if the Avelim have not yet arrived, yeah. So they're waiting for the Avelim, there's a mitzvah. So
they can start, and then even if they're not about to finish, they
have to make a calculation. If they have enough time to recite Kriya Shema and finish before the Avelim arrive, they should recite Kriya Shema. But if they make a calculation, they're going to be in the middle of Laman Yirbu. When the Avelim arrive, they should not say Kriya Shema. They are exempt because they're oisik in the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim.
The Nichum Avelim is on the Rabbanon. The Krishna is direct.
Even by a din de rabbanon, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. We have to look. Maybe we'll come across this more in the Gemara. I don't know. Mutal, let's now the Gemara discusses the following issue. Mutal lufan first if. It says here in the Mishnah that the only time they are exempt from Kriyat Shema is only when the mace is lifonov, right in front of the Avelim. In Vishain Luf Mutalfan of Lo, but it's Mash of Mace Nalbulfan then the Chayiv in Kriyat Shema, which means they're in another country. They're far away, they're another house, they're another block. The minute we have a student that says Mefarish in the Brisa, Misha Mesel Mutal Lufanov. So here we start. If it's Mamish Lufanov, which at this moment in time we translate literally right in front of the person, Oichel the Beisach, a person is not allowed to eat in front of a mace. The Yemin Lo Beisach, if let's say a person does not own another house, Oichel the Beisach, he should ask his friend to move Toiva and eat in his friend's house. The Yemin Lo Beisach, let's say he does not have a friend to lend him a house, Oichel Mechitz, the only place he's in front of the mace, so make him make a partition. The Oichel, the Yemin Lo Dovash Lasos Mechitz, if you don't have a material to make a partition, Machzer Pondav Oichel. So the next best thing is turn your face. Don't eat facing the mace. Next, and when a person eats, he should not recline. It's not their heritage to recline when the mace is there. The einoy mace of yoichel, the einoy chel basar, and an ovel, an oinain, a person that's waiting for kvura is not allowed to eat meat. The einoy shoyt seyayin may not drink wine. The main mivorach and is not mechuyev to make a brichas hamoitzi. An oinain is part of mikol hamitzvos. The einoy mizamein does not participate in brichas zimun. The ein mivorachem olav. No one has to be moitzi. No one should make a brach on his behalf. He does not make brachos. He eats without a bracha. The ein mizamein olav. And no one, they do not use him as a. They do not use him. He cannot be used. One of the three for mizumin. Upata mikriyashma minatfilo minatfilo mikol mitzvos and murs b'tora. But that's only during the week. But it was Shabbos. On Shabbos, then meisiv oichel. Shabbos is irregular. There's no din aninos on Shabbos. On Shabbos, a person can recline v'oichel v'oichel basar v'shasiyayin v'oichel and make him its brachas u'mezamein u'mevorachim alav, and they can they can make a brachas for him if he does not know how to make a bracha. They can moitzim him u'mezamein alav, and they can use him for the zimun v'chayav v'chol hamitzvos emuros b'tor according to Tanakama. But it's mashma only avelus b'farhesia, but dvarim shebitzila. That is asur. However, Rabba and the Shem ben Gamliel Omer b'toyach shenischai be'elu nischai be'kulon and everything. What does he mean ulon and everything? V'amar b'yochnan ma'binau tashmish hamita ika benayu. The nafkamini is drum shabbatim. So according to the Shem ben Gamliel, nischai even in tashmish hamita, according to priyurviya, and according to Anakama, no, that he should not do. Now, what do we need to take out of this price? So ketani miyos, it says in this price, so potur mikriya shom min atfila umin atfil mikolam mitzvos amurus b'toyach. Here it says that he's potter even when the mace is not mutal lefanav. In other words, here it says the brisa starts with vira minhu. We start off with this brisa. Misha mesoi mutal lefanav. What should he do? Oichel bebayis acher. He should eat somewhere else. And when he is in a bayis acher, even there he is exempt from Kriyat Shema and tefillah mikol mitzvos and murs b'Torah. Our Mishnah, it says, the only time you're exempt from all of these mitzvos, only when it's mutal lefon of mamish. From the Mishnah, it's mashma. If it's not mutal lefon of mamish, if you are in another bayis, another makom, you are chayiv in Kriyat Shema and tefillah mikol mitzvos and murs b'Torah. Here, it seems to say
the English has lefonov in the same room.
In the same way, in the Mishnah, okay, but let's see, very simple. I mean, there are different parts, you have to exactly where you're analyzing. But the point we have over here is Ketani Mios, it says over here at this point in the Gemara, Pater Mikriyashon, where here, you Pater, look at the Rashi, the third one from the top. Ketani Mios Pater, Mikriyashon, Mikolim Brachos, Vafilu, Kishuhu. That's what it says clearly in the Braisa. You're not, the mace is not literally in front of you, it's far away, and you're still exempt from every mitzvah. From the Mishnah, the Mishnah does not make that differentiation. The Mishnah says that, the Mishnah says explicitly the only time you potter is only when it's mutal lefanov mamish. The implication is that if it's not mutal lefanov, you're chayiv in all the mitzvahs. So we have a stira. So the Gemara says, no stira. Amar apava targma amachser panav v'oichal. When it says that you're potter, when it says that you put in a chanami in the braisa, in a chanami the braisa holds, you're chayiv. If the mace is not, if you're in a different room, you're chayiv in all the mitzvahs. Just like the implication of the Mishnah. The only time the braisa says you're potter is only when you're in right in front of the mace and you're turning your face. You don't have another bias, you don't have a friend, you don't have a material to make a mechitza, and you have no choice but to turn your face. So when you have turned your face, that is still called lefanav. Then you potter mikol hamitzvah samuras b'torah. But if you are indeed in a different location, then the implication of the Mishnah is correct, and you chayev the whole mitzvah is samuros b'torah. That's the first answer, which results in a very big chumrah. The chumrah is that a person, that even though he has an obligation to bury the mace, so what? He's chayev v'chol ha-mitzvos as long as the mace is not mamish in front of him. Rav Ashi and Rav Ashi says, no, that's not the pshat. Another pshat, another answer. Kevan shemutal olav l'koivroi kimutal l'fonav dami. When it says in the Mishnah, mutal l'fonav, the Mishnah's translation of l'fonav does not mean literally in the Dalet Amos. It means symbolically. It means you have a responsibility. The responsibility rests upon you even if the mace is in a different country, no matter where the mace is. So now there no longer is a contradiction. When it says in the price that you're part of Mikol HaMitzvos B'Torah, even when you're based Chaveroi, that's exactly what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says Mutal Lefanav. Mutal Lefanav means the mace is your responsibility. It's upon you in another country, another city, another house. And you're still exempt from all the mitzvahs, samurais, b'Torah, because you're torod b'machshav. I think something will be clear. We're not over here necessarily dealing with an onim. I should have made this clear when we started. If a person is an onim, meaning that it's his relative, it's his one of his seven closest relative, then he's potter because of aninus. Le'achalti ba'onim imenu. There are psukim in the Torah. There are halachas from Yecheskel. We learn halal. That's a separate parasha. He's potter the first day of Nisa. We're not dealing here with a person that is dealing with one of his seven closest relatives. We're dealing here with a person that just has that responsibility. We have a person, he is the funeral director, he is in charge, he has been hired, he is the Rosh of the Chevra Kadisha, he has the responsibility. If the mace is mutal lefonov, it's according to Rav Ashi's second answer, it's his responsibility, even though it is not his, one of his seven closest relatives, he is potter from all the mitzvahs hamuros b'Torah because he is torud b'machshavtoi in a mitzvah. And you potter from the mitzvahs. But it goes without saying that a person that is an oinin rachman alutzlan, the first day within the, until from the day that a relative dies until the sun sets, the first day, that's a din of aninus, and that has a separate halach and shulchan aruch that you potter no matter where the person is, even if he's not responsible. What gets complicated is, as I told you, I didn't really clarify quill, is where the first day of aninus has passed. It's very common in America because of refrigeration and because of the way the cemeteries are set up in America, where ruba deruba, many funerals, not ruba deruba, many times funerals are not held on the day of Nisa. It's going to be at least the next day, or it's going to be even 2-3 days later on. So then the question is, how far does the aninus extend for the person to be part of Mikola Mitzvah Samura Ispatara? Mina Torah, aninus only goes until the first night. There's machlokes apoyskim if it goes the following night. But then the first day for sure is aninus part of Mikola Mitzvah. What about the next day if the mace has not yet been buried? That's an aninus midrabanan. But Rav Moshe, there are many poskim that start asking questions that Bisman Hazev, it's no longer Mutal Lefonav due to the Chevra Kadisha and due to all the modern day services of what's done. How far do we go and say the person is Mamish Pot and Mikol HaMitzvah Muspatorah Midina Ninus Dirabonon when he's not really doing anything and he has other people taking care of it? This is a hot issue. It's a very complicated issue, and every Rav has a different Mesaira from the Rosh Yeshiva exactly how to be noeg during these very complicated shilas. Let's go further. So the Gemara, Rav Ashi's second answer is going to be the Gemara brings a riot. You bring a riot from Avram Avinu. Avram spoke to Bnei Ches, and he told them, I want to buy them Aris Machpelah. And the Nemar, it says, V'ekber, he pleaded with them, V'ekber Mesi Milofonai, sell me this cave, let me bury my Mesi Milofonai. And Rashi says, that when Avraham, Rashi knows this, I don't know how Rashi knows this, there's a Masorah, that when Avram was speaking to the Bnei Ches, to Ephron, to buy the Kever, the Sarah was not present. Sarah was locked up in another room. She was in a different location. How does Rashi know that maybe every single moment that he spoke to Bnei Ches, he had Sarah right in front of him. He had her on a mitzvah right in front of him. So Rashi says, Davar Pasha, that when Avram went to Ephron and Bnei Ches and negotiated the purchase of the Aris Machpelah, Sarah was not there. Her guf was elsewhere. So how then can Avraham use these terms milifonai and use the word me'al p'nei meso? Obviously it's not to be taken literally, it's taken figuratively. That it means it's my responsibility. So just like it's good enough for the Torah to use the word milifonai al p'nei meso figuratively, not literally, so it's good enough for us to interpret the Mishnah, lifonav does not mean literally in front of the person. It means responsibility. Next. Now, mace, now the Gemara starts making these diukim that we said before. Meso. Meso means it's his mace in Aval Meshamer Lo. Now, the two different, let's say a person is guarding the mace. We want to differentiate between the person that is meso, again, doesn't necessarily mean a relative. It means it's your responsibility to make sure the mace is buried. Aval Meshamer, let's say it's not your responsibility to make sure the mace is buried. You're just there for the moment to guard it. That's not my responsibility. I was just hired or asked to guard the mace. In ancient times, it's Shmira because we're afraid of Mazikim, Kabbalistic Inyanim. We have no clue what this is. But in years ago, it's not the primary reason of the Mazikim and Shadim. It's Pashit, rodents. Animals, they are rats and rodents and all these wild chayos that were delicious to eat up a human corpse. So the mace has to be guarded from human mazikim and from animal mazikim and from even the stump to make sure. Today that's not really the issue. Today, Baruch Hashem, things are put away. I mean, you never know. You shouldn't really say. You never know what can go wrong. But the one that's exempt is the person that has the responsibility to bury it, not the one that's just there temporarily to guard it. The other time we have a bride, says, "Hamishamer san meis," a person that's guarding a meis, afal pi shein a meis. So it's is not his responsibility. Potem mikriya shem natfilu minatfilu mikol mitzvah mispatayram. So mishamroi. So over here it says mishamroi afal pi shein a meis. So here it says you're guarding it. So the Gemara gives an answer. The answer is Yenachnami Elu Veil. There's no stira. They're both correct. Mishamroi Afal Pi Yishenu Meso. If you're guarding it, that's sufficient. Though it's not Mamashiur. It's Meso Afal Pi Yishenu Mishamroi Yenachnami Elu Veil. Divlim Chaim. The person is guarding it. You potter. If it's Meso, you have a response. But you're making all the phone calls. You're making all the arrangements, and you're not guarding it. You're elsewhere. You're in the cemetery purchasing a plot and so on and so forth. Even though you're not Mamash guarding it at that moment in time, you're also exempt. You call a mitzvah some risk. So Elu Veil. There's no stira. Next, Meso Misham, then Moris Mudik. Meso Yu Misham, right? In order to be examined, you call Ham Mitzoy Samuros, but you must be one of these two. You must be responsible, you must be guarding it. Avo Mahalach and Besak Voros, but it's Mashma. Let's say you're going for a stroll in the Besak Nesnes. Lo, you have no, you chayiv in all the mitzvos. You're not exempt. You're chayiv. Really, the Otanya, lo, you halach and Besak Voros, with Tulim, but you may not wear Tulim, the Sefer Tarbiz Royal, you wear, or holding us on your arm, the Quran reading it, the Imoisakin Avim Shum Loig Larosh Kherif, I say, if you mock the poor, it's as if you're Mavarich Hashem. Kherif means blasphemy. It's a word for a curse. A Mavarich, a euphemism. You bless Hashem, or Yisrael means your creator. There's no one that's more poor than a dead man, because he's not able to accomplish a mitzvah. So a person mocks the dead, the poor, by flaunting mitzvos in his presence. Look, I can do a mitzvah, I can learn Torah, I can wear tefillin, I can wear tzitzis, and you can't. That is a disgrace to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How dare you? You have no sensitivity to your purpose in this world. So we see that when you're in a cemetery, and even though you're not busy burying it, you're not busy gardening, doing anything, you're not allowed to do any mitzvah. And here it says the only one that does not do mitzvahs are a shomer or a person has responsibility. More than the kasha, hasam there a symbol obviously since hasam there toich arba amos chud also chus arba amos chayv there pashut. You're right. As long as you're within dalit amos, you potter. Get out of dalit amos. Just walk away from the mace and then do the mitzvah. Say kriyashma, put on tefillin, learn Torah. Chud also chus arba amos chayv. Hasam there toich arba amos chud pasach chus arba amos chayv. Diyam amar mace toifes dalit amos lekriyashma 4 amos. 8 feet. After work, we're 8 feet from the mace. You can say Krishna. You can dive and do all these things. Chutz dalat amos. So nagel lachol nice. Go to the cemetery. Many times you go to the cemetery. You have to dive mincha. People dive mincha. Dive. So you have to make sure that the place you dive mincha, you're in the parking lot. It's away from the at least 8 feet away from the closest kever. Mace dalat amos. The Krishna hacha chutz. But here, when it comes to a person that's a shomer, or a person that is responsible, it doesn't make a difference where you are. As long as you're doing your job, you chayiv hachal chutz dalamas nami potter gufa. Hamasham es hameis al vichayinu meis, so even though it's not your meis, potter mikriyashma min atfilo min atfilo mikol mitzvah amur eskutayro. Ha yushnam, let's say there were two people, so zeh mishamer vzeh karei. So then, one can be mishamer, and one can recite kriyashma. Zeh mishamer, take turns, zeh mishamer vzeh karei. Ben azeh, or ben azeh says, no, he says what appears to be machlaikis. Let's say you're traveling on a boat and the mace is in the cabin and you're transporting the mace and there are two people. So both people, both of the shomim, are allowed to leave the mace and go to the other start of the ship and daven mincha together. So what do we see from this? That the Nazi holds that both, that there are two people they are guarding, both of them can abandon the mace. Tanakama says no, only one can abandon the mace. There always must be one person present at that at any given moment of time. So the Gemara says, So the end, the Enachnami, that's at the very beginning. There are different types of Shemira. So it appears the Gemara is saying is that if two people that are guarding the mace, they are guarding, if they're not mamish, just their presence, and this is a very interesting idea. If there's only one person guarding the mace, let's take a step back. If there's only one person guarding the mace, in order for a shmir to be effective, his mind must concentrate on what he's doing. That's what's going to look like according to the second opinion, Ben Azza. His mind must concentrate. If you're not concentrating on what you're doing, just your presence is not alone. Because being there, if there'll be some type of let's say a ganef, a person, a human being, sometimes there are bandits that want the bodies because they figure they'll take the clothing. Who knows what they'll do to the body? For whatever reason, they want the bodies, or there are certain types of animals. If animals or people sense that a human being is standing there and he's not paying attention, they will come along and steal the mace. But Benazai holds that if two people are standing there, just their presence alone is a sufficient shmira. It's a deterrent for a ganaf or an animal to cause harm to the mace. Therefore, if there are two bodies present, you both can daven. You both can daven, close your eyes, daven a long shmona esrei. Even though you're not paying attention, it's okay because your body is present. That itself is a deterrent for the ganaven. But the Tanakhama says no. Because the what you have to guard is not only from human beings and from larger creatures that would be deterred by your body, you have to also guard from akaborim, from weasels. And weasels will only be deterred if you pay close attention. Even two people will not, the akaborim will attack a mace, even if there are two people, unless the people actually go actively, they guard, they stop the rodents from touching the mace. So that's, and what about a boat? On the boat, there are no akvarim. boats generally, because Akvarim, they have to have an escape route into dry land. On a ship, there's no dry land. No. Then even Tanakhama says, even in a ship, you have to be chayish that is going to be Akvarim roaming around the ship. They also infest the ships, and there for Tanakhama, it's also there are two people. Only one of them can leave at a time. There always must be one person present. According to Benaz, I know you never need two people to be present. Two people could always leave. Just the fact that they're near, they're in the vicinity of the mace, that is sufficient. Next,
what happens to the problem? Loy Gilrosh.
Loy Gilrosh, more than Dalai Lama, this is Mutter. Loy Gilrosh, only problem
with you.
Yes, they're away from the mace. Now we have easy Gemara. Okay, next, now it goes very quick to the end of the page. Tanabon, Amilchat, Samos, the person goes and he brings bones. He's transporting bones. Mimakam. This is how it was in ancient times. In ancient times, the way people were buried was they were buried twice. They were first put in a shallow grave, and their body would decompose. The Basar and the Gidin would decompose, and then after it would be completely decomposed, they were called Likud Atzamos. They would dig up the dead, and all that would be with the bones, and they would collect the bones, and the bones do not take up much space, and they would put the bones into a special burial crypt. And being that the bones can be compressed into a very small space, the burial crypts were relatively very, very small. A person can be 6'9", and the burial crypt doesn't need to be more than 3 feet, not even 2 feet, because the, and after, first a shallow grave. So that's what happened over here. The person over here was first buried, and the body decomposed, and now they're up to part two, Likud Atzamos. They're collecting the bones, put in the burial crypt, and they're taking it to an ancestral burial crypt somewhere far away. So they're transporting the bones in a bed. Omar or some type of sack. So Tarabon Amulukat Samus Makal Makam Haraz Allah Yid name Bidi Sakya. Don't put it in a sack. The Yidim Al Gabi Hamar and put it on top of your donkey, the Yirkovalim and ride and rest your weight and sit on the bones. That's disrespectful. The only way you could get the bones out of the country. You're afraid for the bandits, the Goyim, or when they list them, mutter, then it's permitted. You're allowed to sit on the bones. The bigger picture is more important to remove the bones from this location. What are we referring to when we say Sefer Torah? Don't take a Sefer to put in a bag. Don't take a Sefer to put in a duffel bag and sit on it. When you see going on this airplane sometimes, they have to be very careful to produce Sefer Torah. That's what it means. Don't take a Sefer to put in a duffel bag and put it on sand. Of course, pshit, of course. It's Ella Sefer, the Chiddush is. If it's dangerous, if you have to smuggle Sefer Torah out of a dangerous place, they have them in Baghdad now, in Iraq, they have the old Assyrian Sefer Torah there, are locked up in the museum, they're trying to smuggle them out, then you're allowed to smuggle them out in order for the larger good, in order that they should be saved. A person sees a mace, does not escort the mace. You're mocking the poor. This is blasphemy to your Creator. Let's say you accompanied the mace, you walked out of Amos, Malve Hashem Choinin Dam. That means Malve. Really, it's with the second, it's a loan. If you are gracious to the poor, it's like you're lending Hashem money. Hashem is the guarantor. He'll pay you back. Hashem will reward you. But the Gemara makes a beautiful drasha. Don't read it Malve, but Milave. Milave means to accompany. Lavoya Sames. Milave Hames. Milave. Not Malve. With a shva underneath the lamed. Read it with a patach underneath the lamed. Me lave. If you accompany now jump to the end of the pasuk, dal, gotta skip words to make sure of the pasuk. If you melave the dal, if you are melave, you accompany, you walk the dead to his grave, then that's like Hashem choyein, Hashem will show you grace. You're being gracious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're being kind. And a person, so we say Evyon here refers to the poor, the dead. The dead is an Evyon. He's Toiv Lakol. So a person that's Mechabed, he's been gracious. It's like you're giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you've been gracious, Mechabed refers to Hashem. When Mechabdoi, you're honoring Hashem. When you're Choinin Evyon, when you're gracious to the Evyon. Rabbi Chiyab, Rabbi Yochanan, Havi Shakle, Vyazle, Besakvoros, they walk in the Besakvoros, Havi Koshadio, Techilto, Rabbi Yochanan, the Tcheles, the Tzitzis. Rabbi Yochanan was was flowing in the wind. Amar Rabbi Chiya, Dalie, lift up your tzitzis. Kedei shelo yomu, they be mesim should not say lo machar bor netzlenu. Look what these people they're doing. Tomorrow they'll one day die. Achamei v'yeshem v'yachshav mecharfen hasin. Or now they're mocking us that they have tzitzis and we don't have tzitzis. Amar Leih miyadi. Now the Gemara begins a new discussion. Do the mesim really know the difference? They know from nothing. So he said to him, you don't know pshat in the pasuk. If you read it once, you didn't read it a second time. If you read it a second time, you read it a third time. And I've read it a third time, then you never learn the right pshat. Because even though sometimes the pshat is really in the subconsciously, it's your mind. It just takes the achil chazara. You see over here, pshat the gemara chazara. Pshat chazara is to bring the subconscious idea that you really know, that brings it closer to the conscious part of the mind. But even if you've gone through the entire process of chazara three times and you still, it means you didn't learn pshat correctly the first time. They didn't tell you pshat in the pasuk. Even though Itaka says in the pasuk that may some enemy of the mumah, we'll explain what that means in a moment. But we have another pasukim which tell us clearly ki hachayim yodim sheyemusu. What does this pasuk mean? So the Mark was in a long discussion. Elu tzadikim shebimisasan nikru chayim. The chayim means this refers to the tzaddikim. The chayim refers to tzaddikim. Even when they die, they're called alive. They're always alive. Yoidim shemusiyah means that they know that their opportunity on this world is running out. And the chaparayim to Torah mitzvos on this world. So here this pasuk is discussing chayim, elu tzaddikim, shebimisasan nikru chayim, shenema. I will give an example. Now before we go to the more elaborate, many steps to this long drasha. But we give a rai pasuk from Binoyahu ben Yehoyada, one of David's men, Shinemar, Uvinoyahu ben Yehoyada ben Ishchai, who was the Hespit. He was a ben Ishchai, he has many names. He was a ben Ishchai. He was Rav, probably accomplished great things. Mikab itself, he came from a place called Kapsel. Huiko es Shnei Ariel Moav, he was a general, he was a mighty warrior. He hit the Shnei Ariel Moav, the two Ariel, simply this means Ariel Moav, the lions of Moav. And he went down and he hit a lion with in a pit on the day of snow. Now what does that mean? Now you could take the pasuk literally, which I'm sure some of the Parshanim do, but the Gemara interprets this more symbolically to describe his koyach and Torah and Avoida. Ben Ishchai. So here's really what we need for our Gemara. What does it mean Ben Ishchai? Atu kuli alma b'nei neis. He's the only one, 11 else is dead. No. Ella Ben Ishchai shafilu b'misasa karecha. Even in his death, he's always alive. He died. At this point in time, the pasuk is describing him after he died. And yet the pasuk here is calling him a Ben Ishchai. That's really what we need from this Gemara. He died, and yet we're calling him alive. So here we learn, Ella Ben Ishchai Shafilu Ben Yisasa Nikorchai. Rav Paulim, when he's Rav Kamim, Bikabsel, Sheriba, the Kibetz, Poyalim Letoira. So Bikabsel, Losh of Kovats. Kovats Kel. He gathered people for Torah, for Kel. He gathered people for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his greatest pa'ula. He was able to encourage people to be mechazik in avodas Hashem. Shereba v'kibetz poyal lemu Torah. V'hu hika shnei Ariel Moav. What does that mean? Shlohi niach kamoi. So hika means that he outpowered. There was no one as great as him. Kamo lo b'migdash rishon lo b'vasheni. Ariel is a word that refers to the base Hamigdash. Ariel, many psukim in Yeshai, Ariel, it's like a lion. It was a fire. The Shechina looked like a lion, or it had the tzura. The front was wide, the back was narrow, like a lion. The front is wide, the back is narrow. Moav, who built the bay? Who laid the foundation? David. Where did David come from? Rus Hamoavia. So he shloyiniach kamos lo b'mishrishim lo b'mishreni shvuhu yard hika eshari b'sechabar b'yoyim hashelig. What does that mean? Two perush midam. Some said the tabar gizize the tadra. He broke chunks of ice. V'nochas, he went down the tovel. He went to mikvah on a winter day. Because the why that means, so his whole shiloh, what does that do? Tzilas Ezra? Tzilas Ezra didn't exist for 500 years, time Ben Ishchai. So he ready. So some in Echlam, he learned that he was makbid on Tfilas Ezra even before it was formally instituted. Others don't know it means that he ate chulin al taras hakodesh. He was very makbid on mikvah. and so he broke ice to go to mikvah. Some say the Tana Sifra Debei Rav, he broke ice means he learned Torah. It's a metaphor for Koyach HaTorah. He learned Sifra Debei Rav. He learned the Sifra. B'yomid the Sisfa, on a winter day, a short winter day, he was able to master the complexities of the Sifra. Chumash VaYikra. The Amesim. So now the Gemara continues. It says in the pasuk that this is a continuation. The pasuk on Amud Aleph began ki achayim yodim sheyamusu. The chayim know they're going to die. So we have proven that this refers to the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are called chayim. They never die. They're alive in this world and the next world. They know in this world that their time is limited and they don't waste their time. They know sheyamusu, that they're going to leave. Here yamusu means they're going to leave, and therefore they take advantage. And the pasuk continues, but the hamesim, the dead, einim yodim uma. So what does this mean? So now he's coming to explain, because this was the problem before. The poor we had in this pasuk, vamesim einim yodim uma. There's no big deal to swing your tzitzis on the kvarim of the dead. They know from nothing. So he told him, no, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. When it says here, vamesim einim yodim uma, elu rishoyim. This refers to the wicked. Shebechayim kuyamesim shenemar. Where do we find an example then that someone who's alive is called dead? The Atayu, this was Yecheskel, said this about Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, the last king of Yehud, was the last king. Now Tzidkiyahu was not necessarily a complex person. So some places he's called a tzaddik, and in some places he's called a rasha. So yeah, you can't get carried away. You can't say so quickly about a melech of Yisrael, the last melech was called a rasha. But in this pasuk, Yecheskel calls him a rasha. The Atayu, cholol rasha. Cholol means dead. The dead slain Rasha, Nisi Yisrael, the prince of Yisrael, Tzidkiyo. Why was he called a Rasha in this passage? Because he violated the Shavua of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wants, Tzidkiyo wants on Nebuchadnezzar to eat a rabbit.
A live
rabbit. And he was embarrassed. So he made a shvua, Tzidkiyo made a shvua, he'll never tell anyone. And later on he did, he told the Sanhedrin what he does. So he violated the shvua. So if it was a chil Hashem. So that chil Hashem, Yecheskel calls him here a Rasha. But it does not necessarily mean that he was a Rasha entirely. It just means in this, what do we see? He's called over here a chol Rasha, even when he's dead, he's called a Rasha. So we see over here another Dibay, another Pasek, Me'acha Alpi Shnayim Edim, or Yishloi Shedim Yimas HaMes. The mace will die. The witness is still alive. He did an Avera, he murdered, he did Arayos, whatever he did, and he's calling, he's still alive. And you call him a mace? Chayu. Ela HaMes Me'kar, since he did an Avera, he's already called dead when he's alive. So now we know the answer. When it says in the Pasek, the HaMesin, Einim Yoidim Uma, that does not mean the dead do not know what goes on in this world. The dead know very well what's going on in this world. They have their sources. And therefore, don't swing your talus over the kever of the dead. Somehow they have a sensitivity. You have no clue what this means. But they have a sensitivity to this. So what then does it mean the Pasek Vanesim Enim Yodimu means that the Rishoyim, they have no sensitivity to Adavar Shebekedusha, and that's why they ignore Hashem's ways. But it doesn't mean, that's all it means. All it means the Pasek Vanesim Enim means the Rishoyim, they don't know from Aribayin Shalaylan. They don't want to know. But when they're dead in the next world, they do know what's taking place in this world. Now, I have some stories.
So it's all Mason then. Anytime you go to Basic First, it's anyone who's there, it's everybody knows.
I guess so. I mean, it's not for anyone to say about anyone. We don't know from these things. They went out to the fields. They went out to make Parnassah. They were having a very hard time making Parnassah. And in the process of learning Parnassah, they forgot their learning. And they had incredible tsar. Instead of having tsar of a business, their tsar, their primary tsar was, they forgot a Gemara. They forgot a Shulchan Gemara. So Havakom et tsar alad, who they were trying, they had tsar to remember their learning. So one child said, one of the ones said to the other, Yoda avun b'hai tsara. People always ask that question, that when a person, when a son goes through hard times in life, they wonder, do their parents, do the people in the other world, their grandparents, do they know what they're going through? Where are they? How come they're not helping me, pulling the strings up there to do something? Yoda, avon, b'hai tzara, it's a very scary Gemara. What? A question. Does our father know the tsar that we are undergoing, that we're forgetting our learning because of our difficulty in making parnasa? So the one says, no, we learned that our father doesn't know from nothing. How would he know? The Yaksivit says in Mishlei, even if his children will be honored, let's say his child is Manish, the Melech of Klal Yisrael. The father doesn't know. The father does not know of the gedulas of their children. He does know. He says in the pasuk, "Ach Mesor Yichav Elov." He says in the pasuk that a person when he dies, he knows. He watches his flesh decay. His flesh upon his body Yichav causes him pain. He sees the basar decay and he's in pain. The nafshei Elov, when the neshama watches the pain of his flesh, teval, he's in a state of mourning. What does this mean? The Rabbi Yitzchak, kosher rima lemeis, it's painful, a worm to a dead body, kemachal bevasachai, like a needle piercing a living flesh. So we see that they do know. They do know what's going on. So the other one says, no, Amri, all that pasuk means that they know about their own tsar. But they don't know about someone else. Amri, they said, b'tzar di du yoda, b'tzar di dachuni lo yoda. V'loi, they don't know. V'yotem l'nabrai samayis, v'chosid ha'chosh nasim divin l'ani b'erav erav shana. He gave money to an ani erav shana b'shnei ba'at tsaris in the year of famine. Gave his last penny. He comes home to the wife, ikni tu ish, so the wife says, we have nothing, we don't have a penny, you gave the way, listen, it's stuck, we have nothing more to eat. So his wife threw him out of the house. So he slept in the cemetery, rushed on a night. Two spirits, speaking to talk to each other. The famous Gemara. One said to the other, Chaverti, my friend, Bo, come, v'nosha bolam, let's go and fly around the world. V'nishma me'achoya paragod, the other side of the curtain, ma peronis bol olam, let's see what the peronis, the bad news for this year is going to be. Amrullah Khavertus, the friend said, Eni Yukhalash, I can't go with you. Shani Kubi Akhsal shall call in these Kabbalistic terms. I'm buried in a bed of reeds. I don't know what this means. It's some type of Kabbalistic Indian. What? So why does that hold her spirit from flying in the world? So I don't know what this means. Whatever it means, I'm buried in a mat of reeds, and therefore my soul is prevented from flying to the next world. El al Khiyad, you go find out what's going on, and you come back. We'll gossip. And what you hear, Amali, come back and tell me. Hocha, she went the night of Rosh Hashanah. The Shata, she flew. Uva, and she came back. She told her friend, Chaverti, anyone who plants the first quarter of the year, borrowed Malkos, the first quarter is going to have Malkos, so the stocks are going to crash. So this person got heard the secrets. So what did he do? So he was smart, he invested in the second quarter. The whole world was smitten. His crabs to lock up. The next thing he did the same thing. Good. She defied Malka, so the strong winds will destroy the crop. So this person knew the secret. Holach v'zaber v'yeshuish in the first quarter, and he was successful. Shel kol olam kula nishaf, the whole world planted the second quarter. Their crops were destroyed by the winds. V'shaloi loy nishaf, armoloi ishtoi. So then the wife got suspicious. How come you're so successful these last 2 years? Armoloi ishtoi v'nema ishtaka last year shel kol olam kula loka v'shaloch loy loka v'yachshav, and this year shel kol olam kula nishaf v'yashloch loy nishaf. So he told his wife the whole story, every little detail. Amru, they said, now here's what I'm going to tell Gemara. Lo hayu yamu atim, was a short time on Shnafla Ketata bein ishta shal oisa chasid or bein ima shal oisa riva. Two women got into a fight. The mother of one of the girls that was buried, the one that could not fly, the machtsela shal kanim, and the wife of this chasid. And then in the quarrel, the wife of the chasid insulted the mother of the girl. Amrullah lechi kam vi erecha, I'll show you bitcha, your daughter, she kubur b'machtzela shal kanim. Look, your daughter, she's buried b'bizayon. You buried her in a machtzelis, in a mat of reeds. And therefore, that was a big secret, it appears. What the significance is, I do not know, but there's some significance to that. And therefore, that's how she insulted insulted her. So Lashon HaKher is the third year. The Chassid goes back to the cemetery. Come with me. I'm not going to be quiet. The things that we are talking about are being eavesdropped. Our conversation has been reported among the living, because my mother came to me and came and cried on the grave, and when she cried on the grave, she obviously was bitter and complained, what's going on, what happened. The only way she can know about this is because of the conversation me and you had. So what do we see? We see from this story, Alma Yadi, Al Yadi. So we see over here that this spirit, she knew what was going on in this world. She knew that the chassid made rich. The chassid was successful for 2 years in a row. They knew that the whole story, everything said, all the details were reported. So this dead girl, the Sariva, she knew what happened on this world. Alma Yadi. The Gemara says that this is very chiddush. Dilma inish achin yashachiv yozlov yamaluhu. Unbelievable chiddush. Unbelievable chiddush. Where's Maskana? That the truth can very well be that people, the dead, do not independently know what's going on in this world. But when people die, people die all the time. Shayaros mitzuyos. Every day there's a bris. There's the baby. The hospitals are full of new babies, and there are people always dying. Shayaros mitzuyos. Caravans going back and forth. People die, and they go to the next world, and they give over reports of what has happened in the recent times. And that the Gemara does not disagree. That so therefore the Mason, the Gemara's maskan is, it can very well be the Mason Taka don't know what's going on independently, but they get reports from people that have departed and arrive and give over the information. Toshma.
But they do hear.
They do. The bottom line is they know what's going on, but there's a delay. There's
and
a stickle delay.
You
also begin to wonder that they only can know. I mean, the Gemara is saying that the holy Yediyah comes from people who leave this world. So that means they got to know. They got like a different neighbor. Someone from another country doesn't necessarily know what's going on. Someone in one neighbor doesn't know what's going on in this neighbor. You know, it's exclusive information, certain secrets. It's a very interesting idea.
If you didn't tell her, the wife, this Gnai,
yeah,
then it.
Oh, so it's Shmuel Loshnar. How do you know the Gnai Loshnar? Okay, I don't know. These are Kabbalistic Gemaras. Very, very good. Toshma, the Ziri, not the Meister. The Ziri, have a mask, this is a Gabi Ushbe Zinche, Ushbe Zichte. Ziri deposited money by the host, by his host. He was a Talmud Chacham, he was the anti Yeshiva, and he left money by the innkeeper. Ad Osir Yazel, Lebe Rav, Shiva. He went to Yeshiva. The time he came back, the host died. Where's my money? Where did the host put my few dollars? Ozel Basha, so what did Ziri do? So he went to the cemetery. He went to the cemetery to communicate with the dead. Where's my money? I gave you the money and you died. Where'd you put the money? So the host somehow communicated with him. We don't know how. Zil go shekalinu mituse bitsinura didosh. I put underneath the hinge of the door. Beduch plon in this place. In this place. The emalei liime. And tell my mother, so obviously the young person who died, so he told you that you'll find the money here, this exact location, it's buried underneath the door hinge in this place, and once you go to my home, I want you to give a message to my mother, Tishadali Mishrakai Viguvtai Dukuchla, send me my comb and my eye makeup. Bahadi Planisa de Asil Macha, so and so is going to die tomorrow. One of the neighbors in the community is going to die. And once she's going to go, coming here to this world, please have her bring for me my comb, my hair comb, and my eye makeup. I need that here. This is the mace is instructing the Ziri, do me a taiva. When you go get your money that I told you where it is, you otherwise you never would have found, tell my mother to send with so-and-so my eye makeup and my comb, because that person is going to die tomorrow and they should bring it with me. Obviously, when we say over here, eye makeup and comb, this is in Yoni, it's Ramazim for very deep mystical things, which we have no idea what this is.
It's Ushbechise is a lady then.
Yeah, so yeah, it appears to be a woman. Amos, so what do we see from this story? Yadeh, she knew who's going to die. If the dead don't know what's doing in this world, how in the world did this girl know who's coming tomorrow? Alma Yade. So Gemara is not a riot. Duma kodum machus. Duma is a famous person, famous demon all over Chazal. Duma is the name, a demon that announces who's going to die the next day. The next day, it's part of the entourage of the Malach HaMavis. Like when the president comes, they have a whole team that comes, the advanced team. What? Say again.
Called
Yodei Duma. Okay. Duma. Okay. Okay. This Malach comes and announces. They have a Dilma Duma called the Machuzah. So Duma, the Mason really do have no clue what's going on. But one thing they know, they hear Duma talking, and Duma only talks about what's going to happen the next day. Who's going to die? Toshma. One more Raya. We're almost out of time. The Avu the Shul, famous Gemara. Avu the father of Shmuel. How they come up Nifkadei the Gabi Zuz Diasmi. So he was in charge. He was guarding money of the assignment. Kinoch Nafshe Avu the Shmuel died. Loi Have Shmuel Bagabe. So Shmuel was not present. Tama Yitzias Neshama. Havikokarle Baruchel Baruchel Zuz Diasmi. So people were going. They were saying bad things. Avu the Shmuel that he goes and he stole money of the assignment. Ozla Bashal Chasamavis. So Shmuel went to his father in the Beis Hakvaros. Amulei Bina. So he went there to the Chasamavis Bina Abba. I want to speak to my father. Amulei. They said to him, which Abba? Abba Tuba. It's a very common name. Ikahacha. Amulei Bina Abba Baraba. Abba Abba. Amulei Abba Abba Nami Tuba Ikahacha. There are a lot of them by that name. Amulei Bina Abba Abba. Avu the Shmuel. I want Abba the. I want. What's that? That's not from this. What? Yeah. That's the battery?
It's
what?
The speaker. It's
your turn off. Push the button over there. No, it's okay. Say, Abba Rabba Avu the Shmuel. I want Abba Rabba Avu the Shmuel. Amulei. Solik the Mesifta Rikia, he went to the Mesifta the Rikia, he's not here. He went to Adahochi Chazi Levi, Yosef Abaroi. In the meantime, he saw Levi was sitting outside. They did not allow him into the Mesifta Rikia. Amalei, am I Yosef Abaroi? Why is Levi sitting outside? My time aloy solkas Amalei, Diamrilei. Diomrili, call Kihanach Shun Deloy Silikas Lemasifta de Rav Efes, the Achlishte Lidaite. I caused my Rebbe Efes, Chalisha Sadas. I'm being punished, I'm being denied entry into the Mesifta Rekia, the number, the Zman corresponding to the time that I gave my Rebbe Efes, Chalisha Sadas. Loy Ma'alin and Loch, the Nad, the Loch, the Mesifta Rekia. The Hoch of Yach, in the meantime, also Avudah Avua. His father, Avudah Shmuel, arrived. And he saw that his father Avu the Shmuel was crying and the achich and laughing. Amalei, my time of call bochus. Why are you crying? Amalei de la alag de la alga de la aga. Like ba'agolo v'zman koriv. It means very soon koosis. I see that in a short time you are coming to this world. That you, my son Shmuel, your time is up. My time achichas. Why are you laughing? Here is what we need for our Gemara. Dechashivas b'hai alma tuva. You're very choshev. So that's really what we need for our Gemara. They see over here that the Nesim know what's doing in this world. The fact that Avuah the Shmuel knew that his son Shmuel was an Adam choshev means he knew from his Maisim Toivim. He knew from his Torah and Avoida. So you see, they do know what's going on. Amalei. So right away he was an opportunist. If it's true that I'm choshev, I want to use my chashivas to influence the guard to allow Levi immediate entry into the Mesifta Drakia. Ichashivna and the Al Levi Vayu let Levi enter. Vayu Levi, they let Levi enter. Amalei, Zuzi Diasin, where's the money of the Yisrael? Amalei, Zil Shaklina, the Amt Rechaya. You know, this will leave tomorrow. It's ready to talk. I don't think about it. This little part will wait until tomorrow. We'll finish up tomorrow.